This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU News. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Later this hour, we'll sit down with Matt Caldwell, who's served the last 8 years as a Republican member of the Florida House representing Northern Lee County. He's now the GOP nominee for the Florida Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services seat, and that will be next month's general election. But first, on Tuesday, November 6th, voters in Lee County will be asked to decide whether to raise the sales tax in the county by half a cent for the next 10 years. The referendum reads, quote, "Shall a half cent per dollar sales surtax be levied by the school board to fund the construction of new schools, reconstruction and renovation of existing schools, acquisition of equipment, including safety and security equipment and technology, for a 10-year period beginning January 1, 2019, with oversight by an independent citizens committee. Proceeds of the surtax will be used to fund the acquisition, construction, renovation, equipping, and financing of public school facilities and technology," end quote. Advocates for the referendum say education funding is not keeping up with student growth and that the district already doesn't have enough capital revenue to properly maintain the roughly 13 million square feet of existing infrastructure, let alone make improvements and upgrades. And they point to the need to increase security and safety measures at schools in the wake of events like the Parkland massacre back in February. Critics say county residents are already overtaxed and that the school district should do more with its current budget. Joining me now to make their case in favor of the referendum are Dr. Greg Atkins, superintendent of the School District of Lee County, and school board member Chris Patrika. Welcome, both of you, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you for letting us come on and share our side of the story.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
As always, we invite listeners to join the conversation. If you live in Lee County, what are your thoughts on the referendum? Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And Dr. Atkins, for starters, can you tell us how this referendum wound up on the general election ballot in the first place?
Well, we really saw a need as a governance team, the school board, and our team, our cabinet, for doing something about growth. I mean, we've watched our school district really come out of the recession and student population going up anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 students per year. But unfortunately, our revenue has simply not kept pace with that.
And from what I understand, it looks like board members like yourself, Chris, and district administrators and officials like you, Dr. Atkins, seem to be largely in agreement that this is needed. Is this kind of a unanimous thing among leaders with the district?
Yes, it is. I mean, we've got a team that really I will give credit to our school board, really studies the issues. And this is one that takes a little bit of digging in to understand. Once we made the determination united, I think we decided to move forward and put it on the ballot.
And Chris Patrika, can you kind of give us the basics? You know, I mentioned this is a half-cent sales tax that would run for 10 years. How much do we anticipate that this would raise?
About $59 million per year, and it would cost the average taxpayer in Lee County $64 per year, which is less than 18 cents per day. And I'd like to point out, too, that one-third of the cost of this tax will be borne by people who are just passing through Lee County.
Oh, a tourist tax.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And again, the additional tax revenue would pay for what exactly?
About $268 million will go toward new construction. About $365 million will go toward maintaining the schools we already have in place. About $59 million will go toward safety and security, and then about $57 million will go to upgrading technology.
So it sounds like maintenance is the biggest chunk of the pie there. I've seen quotes from you in the news press about, like, you know, we want to make sure kids in certain schools are, you know, able to concentrate and not, like, just too hot because the air conditioning systems don't work. This is some pretty basic infrastructure stuff you're trying to fund.
It is very basic infrastructure, and it's not due to lack of attention by our maintenance department or by our current administration. Funding for capital has been cut to the tune of $200 million per year over the past 10 years. That forced us off of a preventative maintenance schedule. And so now we're having to respond to things as they break instead of being able to keep up on the maintenance.
Right. So, you know, leaky roofs, things like that too.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I know that the two of you, along with other representatives from the district, have held, you know, public meetings, given presentations, given the public an opportunity to ask questions. What kind of misconceptions are you worried that there might be out there for how this money would be spent?
Well, I think one of the things is, you know, school district budgets are very complicated, and we're a very large school district. I mean, we are literally the 32nd largest district in the country. We have, you know, more than, if you count charter schools, 94,000-95,000 kids. So it's large, so the numbers are very big. Also, the cost of construction is quite high, and it continues to go up. I think right now construction costs are going up 10 to 12% every single year. So the cost of these buildings are big figures, you know.
Yeah.
But in order to keep up and build facilities so that every kid has a seat, we have to do a pretty aggressive plan. I mean, we've got 6 more buildings that we want to complete in the next 5 years, and that's going to take dollars to complete.
Right.
If I may, another misperception that I run into quite a bit is municipalities and the county can capture the growth in property values because they set their own millage rates. We at the school district do not set our own millage rates. Those are dictated by the state, and they've actually set our millage rate lower than it has been over the past couple of years, which brings in less revenue than we had the year before, if that makes sense.
Wow. So less revenue and more students.
Correct.
Gotcha. I wanted to ask about this Independent Citizens Committee that's part of the resolution language. Tell us about that.
Well, I think one of the things it does is it actually gives outside oversight over the dollars, and this committee that's actually not going to report to me, it's not going to report to the school board, it reports right to the citizenry of Lee County and tells our citizens exactly how these dollars are being spent. So I think also what's important is if something changes in terms of the way our student population is going over the next 10 years – you know, this is a committee that is outside the school district. They can literally make a recommendation that maybe we don't need this any longer, or maybe we need to continue because growth continues to be high.
Gotcha. A whole other level of public oversight there.
Right.
And Dr. Atkins, you co-author the Vision 2020 plan. This is the school district strategic plan, providing research-based recommendations and strategies. Can you maybe tell us a little bit about those, the 4 broader goals of Vision 2020, and perhaps how this proposed half-cent sales tax would fit into or help with that plan?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, the biggest goal of our plan is academic performance for our students and making sure our students get the very best education that they possibly can. One thing that's important is that our kids need to be ready for career or to go on to university after graduation. In order to be the best prepared, I think they have to be not only be in facilities that are really worthy and up to spec, but also they need to have the technology that is still relevant either in the workplace or at the university level. I don't want to do our students the disservice that I've seen done to others, including even myself when I was going through where we're working on outdated technology that's not transferable, you know, to university or to the workplace. This allows us to keep things up to date.
Gotcha. And Chris, you had talked about, you know, the state setting the millage rate, and then so that actually ended up translating into fewer dollars with more students. From what you two are aware of regarding what similarly sized public school districts in Florida are dealing with, I mean, are we all kind of in the same boat here?
Well, we're in the same boat in terms of per pupil funding and what we get from the state. But most of the other school districts have an additional source of revenue, whether it's a millage increase or a halfpenny sales tax. And if you look across the state, there are only 6 counties in the entire state that are growing the way we are. We are the only growing county that has no additional source of revenue.
Gotcha. And you had talked about, you know, of course, new construction and the number of new schools you're projecting that you're going to need with the student population growing. Does the district already own land for future school construction?
We do. We do have parcels of land that are actually pinpointed just for the construction of new schools. I mean, so these six new schools that we want to build, we do have the property that can be used to build. We also are looking right now. We're working with a broker. We do have land in our inventory that we can actually sell off, and we're planning to do that. But it's still not going to be nearly enough to fund the schools that we need to. That's a misconception that I have heard that's out there. Right now, we're again working with a broker, but still revenue coming in anywhere from $2 to $10 million of this is land that we would not be using for school construction. Now, some have said, well, why don't you just go ahead and sell off all your land assets and apply it right to construction?
I was going to ask you.
Yeah, well, do you know that if we did that right now using today's property, appraised value, it really wouldn't be enough to even pay for a full school, a high school, So you're not talking about enormous dollars here. In addition to that, if we do that, then we find ourselves in the same predicament that we were years ago with no land inventory whatsoever, and now we're forced to pay the higher rate as property values go up. That's what happened to the school district back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then we find ourselves with no land having to pay a premium for land. Now, if we sold off all of our property, it would not fund a high school, and then you'd have to go right back out and buy it at an inflated value.
So currently, what maybe more of a long-term plan for that land? Because I know some of these parcels are less than an acre. Some of them are big enough for a school, but they're just in places that aren't really conducive in terms of transportation, and it's not a good location for a school. Would the idea be to maybe hold on to the land until property values are much higher and you could get more bang for your buck if you do decide to sell them?
That was actually part of our plan early on. I mean, we were looking at our land inventory actually back 4 or 5 years ago, and at that time, some of these pieces of property, like let's say some of the lots that we have in Cape Coral, were very low. And so the decision was made at that point is to wait a little bit and let these property values start to come up. We're starting to see a time now, though, that property values have come up enough to where we are considering strategically selling off some of these portions that we can't use for schools, or even cutting out some slices of some of the larger pieces we might use for a school for part of the site and then use the other site to sell off and put some dollars back in the capital budget.
And as far as holding on to this property for now, is that something that costs the district money? Are we having to make mortgage payments on at least some of these parcels?
Well, one of the nice things about a school district is you do not have taxes to pay. So that is one advantage. And then the second, in terms of the debt service that we have to service with that piece of property, it's nothing near what that would be compared to one that has a facility on it that's improved.
And I know one of the concerns or one of the services that this extra tax might help fund concerns school security. Of course, we know the state legislature passed a law requiring districts to bump up specific security measures in the wake of the Parkland mass shooting. Is this something that you kind of see as perhaps a well-intended but unfunded mandate from the legislature? How is the district dealing with meeting those demands now?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to do, if you look at, for example, the cost of SROs, the district does have to provide school resource officers. Thank you. We have to provide additional revenue from our general fund to help with that. But thank goodness we have our partners at the county and also City of Cape Coral, Fort Myers, and also Sanibel that have also been excellent partners and have provided funding so that we can close that gap. But when it comes to facilities, yes, hardening a school costs money. You're talking about video technology. You're talking about single point entries, gates, which are quite expensive to do. And we're having to use a lot of resources out of our capital budget to do just that.
Okay. And can you give us any specifics on the technology upgrades that this might help fund?
Well, for example, we have video cameras right now, and some of the video cameras in the district are the old analog type instead of digital. The digital ones are much better, so we are equipping our schools with these new cameras. They also are getting into the area where we can start to look at adaptive technology where these cameras can actually help alert actively an administrator where there might be a possible something of concern that a normal passive camera wouldn't do. So if we have somebody coming over a fence or you have unusual student activity in part of your campus, this camera can actually – technology now can actually start to send alerts to an administrator of an upcoming concern.
Gotcha. And I guess just what would you say to somebody who, you know, perhaps retired here to Lee County? They don't have kids, you know, and they don't feel like they should have to pay taxes for other people's kids' education.
I think that our students today are our community's future. There's a direct correlation between property values and quality education, and our students will be driving the ambulances that will bring our residents to the hospital for emergency treatment. They'll be conducting the surgery. They will be opening and operating businesses that provide services we all want and need. And they will be our future school board members and our future state senators and our future representatives at the state. And I think that quality education is absolutely necessary to prepare our students to make decisions and provide those services in the future when we can't do it ourselves.
Right, right. It's you know, I hate to quote Whitney Houston here, but yes, the children are the future. We all benefit when kids are quality get quality educations. What is the county going to do if Lee County residents don't pass this referendum, because you still need this money?
Well, that's a really good question. I mean, one of the things that we're going to have to do is, unfortunately, is we're going to have to use more portables, you know, for our schools. We're going to have to go deeper in debt because whether we like it or not, the kids are coming, and we're going to have to provide schools for the growth, and that's going to mean that we're going to have to build these schools. But the more debt that this district takes on, the less money that we have to maintain our schools. So at some point, this community is going to have to pay. I think it makes more sense to pay up front for this capital infrastructure and not take on more debt.
And I have to tell you that I have a high degree of discomfort with continuing to borrow money, because that means we'll have brand new facilities in parts of the county and then dilapidated facilities in other parts of the county. So I've asked the superintendent to have staff forecast at what point we're going to have the serious conversation about double sessions or split sessions.
Got you, got you. Well, that is about all the time we have for this portion of the show, but I want to thank my guest, Dr. Greg Atkins. He's superintendent of the school district of Lee County. Dr. Atkins, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Also, thanks to Chris Patrika. She's a member of the Lee County School Board. So great to speak with you as well.
Thank you.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, I recently sat down with Florida House member Matt Caldwell, who is the Republican candidate for the Florida Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Stay with us.